before, you probably did miss the dancing bear as it came through. However, when you looked at it the second time, it was probably blazingly obvious. It's like, oh my goodness, how did I possibly miss that? And I think reading through the gospel stories about the disciples and kind of already knowing the ending, it can feel a bit like watching that video for the second time. All of a sudden, we start seeing these things which really should have been pretty straightforward and right there for us the first time. I think reading through this bit of Mark, 7:31 through to 8:30, I was left with a sense of kind of, you bumbling idiots, how could you miss the point of that? It's so obvious. And I guess that's the joy of hindsight and starting with the full picture and kind of already knowing what's going to happen at the end of the book. And I think if the disciples had that hindsight as well, they too probably would have appeared a bit more competent, especially through this next bit. So by this point in Mark, Jesus had already started to do many, many miracles, shared a bunch of teaching and all of these different events, which were really focusing on showing who Jesus actually was, to prove that actually Jesus really was God. Even if he did do it in a few ways that are a bit odd or slightly low key. And Mark makes this really big point through these first kind of 8 to 9 chapters of his writing that Jesus really, truly is God. So picking up, this bit kind of picks up just after Jesus has healed the Syrophoenician woman. And we come to our first bit. Hey, we got it to work. Brilliant. Okay. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some of the people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spat and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Jesus takes the opportunity to show his disciples some more of what he's capable of, more evidence of kind of who he really, really is. He takes the blind and mute man aside to somewhere quieter with less eyes to see what was going on, and through some pretty unorthodox methods, he proceeds to restore the man's ability to both see and to speak. Jesus starts by restoring the man's ability to see the wonders of the world, and then restoring his ability to talk about it all, to share what Jesus had done for him. Barely able to contain his amazement and his excitement, he proceeds to share what Jesus has done for him, even when he's told not to. And I suspect through this, Mark's not encouraging his readers to go and do likewise, to start spitting and grabbing the tongues of disabled and hope that they'd be healed. However, I do think that Mark is encouraging us here to take just a brief moment to look at our own disabilities, to take a moment and wonder, what would we want Jesus to heal us of? Or perhaps, what would Jesus want to heal us of? That if we were to be healed of it, that it would lead us to do similar, be so overwhelmed with amazement of what God has done for us that we just couldn't hold it back. As we go on to the... As we go through to the next bit in Mark 8, 1-13, we read about Jesus feeding 4,000 people and then soon being questioned by the Pharisees. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance." His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "7," they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute them to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. After he had sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus, to test him. They asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to it." Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. Jesus, for a second time, feeds a massive crowd with barely enough food for a few people. And amazingly, again, there's leftovers. Jesus gave the disciples an opportunity to put their fledgling faith into action in a situation they'd already been in. Surely, they'll get it right this time. Despite having already been in the situation, they didn't even manage to come up with a decent solution to the problem. When Jesus asked them to feed the people, their best effort was an excuse. But where in this remote place can anyone get enough food to feed them? Soon after showing the disciples what he was capable of a second time and sending everyone on their way, Jesus and the disciples proceeded to the boat to head off when they were interrupted by the Pharisees. The Pharisees, not content with the miracle they had just witnessed, asked him for a sign to prove who he really is. I suspect Jesus and the disciples would be having the same sort of feeling you might find yourself getting when you're trying to rush out the door and then you're interrupted by Mr. Need to know the answer right now as I'm trying to leave and need it as a discussion and not just a one-word answer. Jesus barely gives them the time of day and tells them they're not getting anything else. It's kind of like a greedy kid which, after getting an unexpected treat, then asks for an ice cream also. The Pharisees were left with what they had seen to be content with. Both the disciples and the Pharisees here were blind to the miracles which Jesus had been able to do and did for them and for everyone else to see. Both groups were so focused on what they personally were looking for that they completely missed what Jesus was really trying to show them. Both the disciples and the Pharisees were likely on the lookout for Jesus' uprising as the militant leader they were hoping for. Instead, they saw a magician multiplying bread. Both the disciples and the Pharisees were blind to who Jesus was and what he was really about. They sort of just missed the point altogether. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for 5,000? How many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" The disciples, although well-intentioned and trying really hard to make sure that they impressed Jesus this time, just stuffed it up again. Thinking that surely Jesus was referencing their poor organizational skills on simply ensuring they had enough food for the journey, missed that Jesus was actually warning them to be on guard and not become like the Pharisees or like Herod. Jesus, slightly amazed at their dim-wittedness, proceeds to rather bluntly tell them how much they just keep missing the point. How frustrating. Jesus had been working at them for a while now, and still, after all of these miracles and teachings, there are a bunch of no-hopers that couldn't even see what Jesus was trying to show them or hear what he was trying to tell them. Again, blind, deaf fools, not able to grasp what Jesus wanted them to see and to hear. Too focused on their own agenda to be able to see what Jesus wants them to see and hear. Mark, at this point, is reiterating to us, too, that as the readers, we can ourselves be so blinded to what we actually expect of Jesus to miss the point of who he really is or what he really wants for us. That it can even be staying focused on what we thought we should be looking for that is actually blinding us. It can be tough. The disciples were on the lookout for a militant leader to save them from the Romans, so focused on this that they kept missing what God wanted them to see. Their attempts to stay focused kept them blinded on to what they were really missing out on. I think we too can find ourselves in our various busy worlds in a similar focused state, looking out for various aspects of God's, like the disciples were on the lookout for Sergeant Major Jesus, and then accidentally missing what God was trying to show or tell us the whole time. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spat on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't even go into the village." Round two. Jesus and the disciples have been in this situation before. Blind man, take him away, fix him up, no problems. Jesus restores his sight and tells him, "Don't even go into the village." What? He's just been fixed and don't go back to tell everyone? When Jesus leads us to a new path and shows us things we weren't expecting to see, it's not always wise for us to return back to where we've come from. Instead, it can be time to move forward. What would you need for Jesus to restore in you to move you forward to the point of not wanting to go back? What does Jesus want to heal of you so that you want to go out and share the good news of him? Do you even know? What would you need to see or to hear or to experience to help you really grasp more of who God is and what he wants for you or from you, for others or for the world? Perhaps he has already done something amazing in you, in which case, what did he restore or develop in you to get you to the point you're at now? Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Finally, one of these dim-witted disciples starts to get it. Finally, he started to see what Jesus wanted him to be able to see, to be able to finally begin hearing what Jesus was wanting him to be able to hear. How similar can we be to these dimwit disciples? Reading these passages, it can be easy to feel like these disciples must have been extraordinarily slow. However, I suspect if we'd never had the New Testament and were in the position of any of these disciples, that we too would appear a dimwit. Jesus is constantly showing his disciples who he is and what he's really about, and while it takes some time, they do finally start to get it. I think for us too, even with hindsight, we find ourselves in a similar situation, often blinded and deafened to what God wanted to see and wanted us to see and to hear, left mute to being able to share about him and his wonders. What would it take? What would it take for us to begin to hear more, to see more, to share more? Mark, in this part of his writing, emphasizes about how we can all too often simply just miss the point. We stay focused, sometimes, on really good things. And because of this, we can miss what God actually had in store for us. This part of Mark finishes off strangely if we ignore the rest of Mark, the rest of the book and his writings, by saying Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. which if the book finished there, we probably would have no need to care much about anyone other than ourselves. However, this is more talking about Jesus knowing it was not yet time for everyone to know exactly who he was, but to give others the chance to make up their own minds. And when we put that into perspective with the rest of the book of Mark and also the other Gospels, we know that God does want us to be more and more like those blind men, healed of what was holding them back so that they can go and spread the good news of God to the rest of the world. Probably in the best, stuffing it up, dim-witted, slow, missing the point, one step at a time way that they knew how. I think Mark encourages us to go and do the same. So, my...
Thanks, Matt. Did you want any feedback, questions? It's all good. Happy? Nods of appreciation. Well, we missed out a song during the service, and because I didn't think we would have enough time, but we have enough time. So let's sing How Sweet the Day, and then we'll have the Island Benediction after that. Which actually works better here, I think. So obviously God was working through that. Would you like to stand?